Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 79.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, and that is to help as many interested people around the world learn jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. In today's podcast, episode 79, I'm going to be going over two very important scales. So this is just going to be a straight-to-the-point theory exercise, right? I'm not going to be going over any conceptual concepts, atmospheres, things like that. It's just, bam, you know, here it is. These are the scales you should know. This is how you should practice them. And you should learn these, right? Because they're very important. So with that being said, I just want to give you guys, you podcast listeners out there, a couple updates. We have finalized some of the drafts for JPS 2.0. So we have all the colored drafts and we are starting to build that, and it looks amazing. So I can't wait till that is released. We also have a new voicings specialty course and singer accompaniment course being released soon for the specialty courses, and I'll keep you updated on that. So those are a couple things that are happening. We're also going to have some more guest educators doing some more content, free content, right? So normally, obviously, you guys are used to me doing all the podcasts, but I would really like to get more educators on here. I did have Eric Reed, my old former teacher, on the podcast early on. And we've had David Hazeltine write for the blog. And excuse me one sec. I had to turn my phone off there. It was binging in the background. We had Fred Hirsch write for the blog. We had the great Joe Gilman, who played with Bobby Hutcherson for a long, long time. He actually lives here in Sacramento and is one of my mentors and just people I look up to because his playing is just fantastic, has a lot of amazing albums. He has written for the blog. So I love having other people write and produce content for Jazz Piano School. That's my philosophy. I don't believe that my education is the only way to go. I love learning from everyone, and I think students can learn from everyone and everything as well, right? So that's great. I just wanted to provide a structure or a starting point for a lot of people who wanted more help, and that is the Jazz Piano School course and obviously the specialty courses. But since we are growing now and we're going to start to branch out a little bit, my goal is to have more guest educators on here so you guys can continue to learn, not just from me, but from them as well. So that's exciting. But enough about that. This is going to be a short episode, but let's dive right in. So the two scales that I'm going to be going over today are going to be the diminished scale, and that's going to be the whole half scale, and I'm going to be going over the half whole, right? So kind of balancing effects, right? You have the whole half and half whole scale. So let's go over the half whole scale first. Now, the half whole scale is going to be exactly what it sounds like, right? So you're going to do this in half steps and whole steps. So from C, you're going to go up a half step and then up a whole step. And then from here, you're just going to continue to switch off. So half step, whole step, half step, whole step, half step, whole step. And back down, whole step, half step, whole step, half step, whole step, half step, whole step, half step. It's hard to play that and say it at the same time and just play it. But anyway, this scale is going to give us some different options. Now, obviously you can tell, for over a C dominant 7 chord, right? If we look at this scale, we have the flat 9 in there, we have the sharp 9 in there, we have the major 3rd. Okay, that's very important. We also have the sharp 11, the natural 5, natural 13, flat 7, and the 1. So this scale can obviously be used in lots of different ways. I primarily use this scale over dominant chords to create the sound of certain extensions. Now, your full altered scale, which I've done previously, and some of you may know as well, obviously it's a very unpopular scale, is going to be all altered notes, right? So you have 1, flat 9, sharp 9, 3, sharp 11, flat 13, flat 7, and 1. Now, the only difference between the full altered scale and the half whole scale is actually just two notes. And basically, that is going to be what we're doing is taking away the flat 13 and we're adding the natural 5 and natural 13 to our scale. Right, but everything else is the same. Once we get to the sharp 11, we go natural 5, natural 13 instead of doing the flat 13. Right, so here that's the difference. So here's my altered scale, and here's my half whole. So obviously, there's an extra note in there, right? You have the G and the A, and not just the flat 13. So again, when you're using this scale, a couple practice items. Now, again, for this episode, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast79. And I have the C, I have all the alt, excuse me, I have all of the half whole scales for you in all the different keys. So you can practice those. And I'll also have all of the whole half scales for you in all the different keys. So you can practice those as well. What I was about to say is when you are using this scale, right, be due to the extensions that are in the scale, I usually like to use, you want to make sure your voicing over here in your left hand matches those extensions. Now, if you choose to, you can use some of the extensions, right? So you may just do this. And then you can use your scale in your right hand, right? Whoops. I added that flat 13 by accident. Really, really cool sounds you can get from the scale, right? And I love the sound because of the natural 13 and the 5. It's a much different sound than just having the flat 13 in there, right? Now again, with your left hand, the voicing I'm playing here is 3, 13, flat 7, flat 9. Now again, if you want to change the flat 9 to a flat sharp 9, you can do that as well. And that's going to affect the sound of your scale. So don't just think because you're using one scale in your right hand, your sound or the atmosphere you're creating is going to be the same, right? Depending upon the extensions you choose in your left hand as well from the scale, that's going to affect your sound as well. So you actually have, instead of thinking about it as having one scale, you have many, many different sounds depending upon your left-hand voicing. Not many people and students, even I, tend to forget this concept, which is very, very important a lot of times. And because we're so focused on our right-hand improv, right? When in fact, we can take one scale, completely change the sound by changing our left hand. It's a very, very key point, right? So here's our sharp 9 on top. Love it. Definitely completely out, right? You know, you can have a blast with that. You know, you can solo over that for days, right? It's so much fun. So again, that is my 3, natural 13, flat 7, sharp 9. Now again, if I change my chord in my left hand again, I could have 3-note chord. You know, I did a whole podcast on left-hand voicings and how it can change the sound. You can go back and listen to that podcast. But I can have a 3-note voicing. I could just have 3, sharp 11, flat 7. I could have 3, sharp 11, flat 7, flat 9. 3, sharp 11, flat 7, 13, right? I could have this. I could have this. You know, so there's just endless possibilities. I mean, you can use this for so many different examples. So practice that in all keys. That's your half whole scale. Really, really fun. And again, I would use that over dominant chords. So in a 2-5-1, if you have a G minor 7, and then you resolve to F, right? Or any sort of dominant chord. It doesn't have to be in a 2-5-1, right? Anytime you see a dominant chord for kind of more of an out sound with using the extensions, you can go to this. Now, our next scale is going to be the whole half scale, and this is going to fit over our diminished chord, right? So here's our diminished chord, okay? 1, flat 3, flat 5, 6, basically, right? On top. So a lot of people don't really know how to solo over diminished chords, and diminished chords are great. I mean, they're really, really nice passing chords. They're used as passing chords mainly that resolve certain places. And so just for example, if we have a one going to an F sharp diminished, right? That's where we'd use our diminished chord. Maybe three, flat three diminished. So diminished chords usually will lead to minor chords. There's a lot of different uses for them, but having this scale practiced and learned in your skill set, in your toolbox, is really great because you don't want to be playing over a chord and just kind of leave that passing chord out. When you can really say something over the passing chord, it's just such a nice effect to lead into the resolution, right? So if you have the A minor 7, and then you don't really know what to play here, you just kind of skip it or you just leave it blank, right? Because you don't know what to do, and then you're back into the G minor, and you may have practiced G minor a lot. There's your half whole, right? And then back into your one major seven. So it's really nice to be able to say something over that diminished chord in order to resolve back into whatever chord it's leading to. And especially in the older tunes, those diminished chords are really, really popular. They're really prevalent. The composers back in the pre-70s, I guess, you know, all the songbook standards and things like that used these diminished passing chords a lot. Gershwin used them a lot. So many Cole Porter, all these guys, right? So the scale is going to be whole half, right? Whole half. It's just the opposite of what we just learned. So here is our C. We're going to go up a whole step, half step, whole step, half step, whole step, half step, whole step, half step. Back down, half step, whole step. Half step, whole step, half step, whole step, half step, whole step. Now the interesting thing, and again, that would be over my C diminished. The interesting thing about the diminished is it's symmetrical, right? Meaning the C diminished here, if I move this up to an E flat diminished, I'm using the same chord tones. It's essentially the same chord, it's just an inversion. Right, but this is an E flat diminished. We have the E flat on the bass, right? So I would start my scale from E flat, right? And then the same thing if I go to F sharp diminished, it's the same scale. We're just using, so we need to practice the scale in a lot of different ways because I'll tell you one in a second. But we're using the same scale, one scale for four different chords, right? And then finally A diminished. And then back to C diminished. Right? So again, we need to practice this scale, and here's some practice tips for the scale. The half whole scale is a little easier because it's just one scale, right? And I'd still recommend doing this for the half whole scale, but we tend to get in the habit of practicing a scale from the starting note to the ending note, right? So whatever the root is and going to the top. But in order to really fully learn the scale, you really want to practice the scale from all degrees of the scale. And the practicing this diminished scale will really show you the importance of that because you're going to be using it on four different diminished chords. So for the C diminished chord, right, we obviously start on one. Then we're going to be essentially starting on the third, but it's going to be like the new one to us, right? So we have E flat now. Now, I bet you if you just practice the C diminished scale, right, and then you see an E flat diminished scale, it's going to kind of tweak you up when you go to improvise and you're thinking E flat to E flat if you haven't practiced it, right? And that's why this is so great, and that's why I'd recommend with the half whole, don't just practice from C to C, right? Practice from every degree of the scale, actually, and that will really help you learn the scale thoroughly, right? Practice from the flat 9 to flat 9. And then the sharp 9, right? And then the 3. And the sharp 11. And don't just practice the scale going up and down, right? Use it to improvise. So maybe just think F sharp to F sharp. Like, think about your scale as being between F sharp to F sharp. I mean, we all have these visual patterns, like thinking patterns in our head, right? That we're kind of conscious of, but they're not really. Like, we're thinking about something when we're playing. Like, we're visualizing, oh, okay, our scale is from C to C. Here are my chord tones. You know, you got to be honest with yourself. You know you're thinking about stuff like that when you're improvising. So with our whole half, because we're going to be practicing on each degree, it's actually going to help us that much more. So my point being, too, as well, is when we're practicing our improv with our diminished scale, don't just think C to C with your C diminished, right? Think E flat to E flat. You know, you want each note to be its own entity. You don't want to confine your improv thinking or your creativity within a box of just this octave, right? You should have this. You should be thinking the full piano and see all the notes. You know, again, kind of like my Matrix reference where they just kind of pop out to you. You know, they kind of are like highlighted. So you know all the notes on the piano that you can use for this one scale. I see so many students practice a scale from this octave to this octave, and then I tell them to start improvising down here. And it's funny because you've practiced the scale, right? But then you change your register and it's like, wow, I don't even know what notes are in the scale. I'm just so accustomed to playing it in one register. And so, you know, yeah, that's why it makes sense, right? So practice your improv from different starting points. Again, from E flat, F sharp. You can practice different intervals, things like that, any sort of patterns, you know, that you want to do. It's all completely up to you. Obviously, then switch the chord, right? Again, you can also take little motifs, like take little sections of the scale to work with, right? Maybe take the first four notes. And then maybe add two more notes on. You add A and B, right? Then you add one more note on right after that. And then you just have fun, right? You're just kind of working with the scale. You're starting to build a relationship with it, right? It's kind of like dating. You know, you're kind of feeling it out. You're seeing what you like, what you don't like, testing the waters, and really kind of you're getting to know it. You know, you got to spend time getting to know, just like people, right? You got to spend time getting to know people before you really can kind of feel connected to them. But when you first meet them, you're just strangers, right? And that's what it is like with a scale too, or any like a chord or anything else in music. You have to build a relationship with it in order for it to integrate with you so you can kind of express yourself with it. So practice again your diminished chords. Again, you'd go up to C sharp diminished, and then you'd have your same scale. Right? So whole step, half step, whole step, half step, whole step, half step, whole step, half step. Sorry. See, I didn't go all the way up to, my mind was still on C. I didn't go up to the C sharp. So there's your whole half scale. And again, you want to practice in all different elements, practice different registers. I can't stress this enough. Your practice should be striving to get out of your comfort zone, right? When you practice, I can't stress that enough. You want to get out of your comfort zone and make yourself uncomfortable as possible, as uncomfortable as you can feel. So practice all different tempos. Practice fast tempos, slow tempos, medium, right? Practice different emotions, feelings, time signatures, things like that. The more you can get out of your comfort zone, the better and faster and more efficient you're going to grow. But you need to learn the tools. That's why I'm here to help, and Jazz Piano School is here to help, to show you the tools, show you how to practice, and kind of the progression and sequential, you know, cumulative process to take a tool through, you know, and then implement it into repertoire. So hope you guys enjoyed that episode, and I know those scales are going to be very, very useful for you. They're very important. You're going to see them come up a lot in standards and in music in general, so work hard on those. Again, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast79 to get the those scales, the whole half and the half whole. And until the next podcast, happy practicing.